We go. Very good. And so there's a principle at work in that little story that speaks to the reality of the spiritual life that is a really, really important lesson for us to grab a hold of. And that is that in ourselves, we do not have the power to live the life that we are to live as believers in Jesus Christ. We have to tap into the power source of God. And so He has provided for that, but the reality is that it is not easy. And so a couple weeks ago, we launched into this new series on spiritual victory. And we discovered in our key passage, which is in the inside of your bulletins, if you'd pull these back, this out, and I think it might be on the screen as well. But our passage is Galatians 5, 16 to 25. And in this passage, we discover that there is a huge war going on inside of every believer. There's a battle going on. And so Paul, instructing these believers and in writing to us today, says in Galatians 5, "So I say, you believers, walk in the Spirit, or live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature, which is still in you. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with one another, so that you do not do what you want to do for God. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You're not left to a life of just trying to obey God by duty, and there's a different principle at work. The acts of the sinful nature, they're obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." This isn't the path of a person that is saved and walking the way God wants. But the fruit of the Spirit, when the Spirit's in charge, what comes out of the life into the life is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. It's not about duty. It's about the Spirit producing a new life in you. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, and here is the invitation of this morning, let us keep in step with the Spirit. This is instruction for believers on how to live day by day. Keep in step with the Spirit. So we're going to circle back around and get to that explanation of what does that look like and mean. So if you will pull your notes out and fill in the blanks and follow along, we'll kind of walk back through this passage. I want to start by a little bit of a reminder of where we started 2 weeks ago, since we had a little extra break in there. And number one is really on your outline. It's a review. Reality check. In the heart and mind of every believer is an intense battle between the flesh and the Spirit. That's what's going on. That's what Paul is reminding us of today. And we saw in this passage that the flesh, that's what sinful desires is. It just means that orientation of your heart and mind that because of sin rebels against God. And the word desires in that passage isn't just ordinary desires. If you will remember, the Greek word actually means over desires. Like the flesh desires want to take over and rule your life. And they're not just mild and easily put down. They our strong desires. And you guys know how this is. You get your mind fixed on something you want other than God, and I do the same. And it can really be a powerful influence, hard to resist. And it isn't just a desire, and this is so, so, so important. It isn't just a desire to do bad things. Now, sometimes it is. Sometimes our flesh just wants to go out and do things that are clearly against God and clearly harmful to ourselves and everybody else around us. So sometimes the flesh goes there. Addictions and outbursts and the things that were on that list in our passage about the desires of the flesh. But there's another thing that is also a part of that, and it is the desire to put even good things above God. The Bible calls those idols. And so another way that the sinful nature battles against the Holy Spirit is to try to get us to take things that God approves of, like our family, our children, like our work, like some of our hobbies and things that we like to spend a lot of time investing in. Good things in and of themselves, but somehow the flesh begins to take them and says, okay, God, I'm going to take you off the throne of my life as the thing that I live for, as the thing that is most important in my life, and I'm going to put this other thing, and for all of us it might be a different thing, and I'm going to live for that. Now, if somebody asked me if I'm really living for that other thing more than I am God, of course I'm going to tell them no. Because the way this works is there's a lot of rationalizing going on, and there's a lot of kind of self-deceit going on in our minds. We might not even be fully aware that we have given ourselves over to serve this other thing as the thing that really is most important to us. The thing actually we get most excited about, or we are the most fearful that if it were taken away from us, I just feel like I would be nothing. I feel like my life would just be destroyed if this thing were taken away. That's where how you begin to identify what those things are. Because that's what you actually end up putting all of your time and energy into. And so that's the battle. That's the flesh side. But in the heart of every believer, there is now a new entity that has entered into the equation. When God saves us, He does not just forgive us for our sins. Yes, we know that that's why Jesus died, that sin had to be forgiven. That's the beginning of what God had to do to make us right with Him. But friends, if that is all that Christianity is to you and means to you, that you believe that now through faith in Christ your sins are forgiven, and that's the end of the story, you have just such a small fraction of the whole picture. Because that's just the beginning. He forgave your sins, but then He infused you with a new power source, which is the power that raised Christ from the dead. It's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit takes up residence in your heart and mind, where you make decisions, where your emotions and feelings and everything that makes you you operates. There's a new power there. It's the power of God. It's the power of resurrection and new life that is in us. And so Paul presents in this wrestling match, this war, this conflict, now the Spirit is there. And the Spirit also has desires. It's not just that the flesh has desires and the Spirit has no desires, because it says in that passage, the Spirit desires those things that are contrary to the flesh. And so what did we learn? The Spirit, what the Spirit desires, what the Spirit is up to in your life is pointing you in every possible way back to Jesus. The Spirit doesn't call attention to its himself, so to speak. The Spirit is given to remind us, to infuse us with a passion for Jesus because of what Jesus has done for us. And so there is a desire in your heart, if you are a child of God, to live radically for Jesus and to love Jesus with all of your heart. It's there. But these desires are kind of like muscles. And if you neglect exercising your muscles, what happens to them? Tell me. They atrophy. They become weaker. And what happens if you do exercise them? They become stronger. And that's just a principle. And I'm not asking you to go out and physically exercise. Scripture says there's some benefit in that. But that's just a metaphor, an illustration. What God is saying is you need to exercise, pay attention to, do the things that will build up the spiritual life. And you need to, in a sense, start neglecting and doing away with the things that feed either sinful behavior that are bad things or that gets your priorities right where Jesus is back on the throne and there aren't even good things like work or children or hobbies or whatever else you might put on that this is okay list, but to get it back underneath God and make sure that those areas of your life are in surrender and submission to God. What I am describing to you right now is, I mean, this is the heart of the battle for all of us. And I only can speak with authority on this because I know it myself. I wrestle with the same things that you do. Maybe not the exact same, you know, your problems may be, your idols may be different ones than mine, but I know where the battle's at. So he says in there, he says, so we should live by the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. That's where the answer comes. You've got to live daily with this conscious mindset of that God has called you to live for Him and He's given you the power to do so in His Spirit. So that's point number one. Now, we also see in this passage, and this is number two on your outline, the only way to experience the fruit of the Spirit is to live by the power of the Spirit. Galatians, probably the most famous part of this verse that you probably already knew, you might have even had it memorized, but you've heard it so many times you practically know it, is the fruit of the Spirit section, verses 22 and 23. After having talked about what the flesh looks like, he comes over and he says, but here's what the Spirit produces, the fruit of the Spirit. And he gives this list, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the things of the Spirit. But here's, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on this morning. I'm actually going to come back and do a whole bunch with this in the weeks to come. But what you need to get from this today is the fruit of the Spirit does not mean the fruit of Mike Fanning. I cannot produce in my own strength or in my flesh, which is the only thing I have other than the Spirit, I cannot produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is something that happens in me and through me as I walk in the power of the Spirit. So the command here is not God saying to you and me, you go out and produce joy. You go out and produce patience. Do it. Grit your teeth. And stop that sin and stuff and start living for me. The command in the passage is walk and live in the Spirit. And when you and I accomplish this, and we're going to get into, again, a lot in this series, how do you do that? What does it look like? The result of it will be love. It will bubble up in you. It will come out of you towards others. In fact, the things on this list, this fruit, they're really not even for yourself. They're for the blessing of other people in your relationships with other people. And they look at it and they say, wow, what is with that person? I want what they have. But it is the Spirit, when we walk in dependence daily with God, that He begins to manifest, if you will, these attributes in our lives, and we begin to experience them. Like I said, in the weeks to come, we're going to really dig into what these fruit are and what they look like, and also what the opposite fleshly version is in our lives when the flesh wins. Well, he goes on in this passage. Not before I get to that, maybe this illustration will help with this idea of needing the power of the Spirit in our lives. And so one person tries to get across. Let's imagine you're out on a huge lake. Maybe even the ocean, and your desire is to get yourself across on some sort of a craft, a sea craft, and one person, they try to get across on a raft. Imagine trying to get across the ocean on a raft, or a big body of water on a raft, and you're out there and you're just floating. And you're hoping against hope that somehow you're going to get across this thing. This is the let go and let God mentality of the spiritual life. I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to do nothing and I'm going to hope God does something, but I'm not going to work at this. I'm just, because when you're on the raft, really, there's nothing else you can do but sit there. And that's how some of us approach the spiritual life. I'm just going to sit here and hope God does something. Friends, that is not what Paul is presenting here. Now, there's others of us who we get out the old rowboat. And we get in that rowboat and we're going to get across that body of water, that huge body of water. And man, we just work. I mean, you got to get that oar and you got to get it in the water and you got to do all the work. This is the mentality of, maybe we would say, God helps those who help themselves. And this is really all up to me. It's going to be my power that does it, my strength that gets her done. God, you know, I mean, we kind of acknowledge God because that's what Christians are supposed to do, but we're really doing all the work, producing all the power. And let's face it, how many people do you know of that have rowed across the ocean in a rowboat? Okay, this doesn't work. You don't have the power. I don't have the power to do that. But there's another vessel that maybe gives us the right picture. And that is a sailboat. Because a sailboat is dependent, utterly dependent, upon what? The wind. Did you know that the word for spirit, pneuma in the Greek, also is the word for wind? The main illustration, if you will, of the Holy Spirit is the wind. It's a force. You can't see it, but it's there. And in a sailboat, there's a cooperation that has to happen, right? God doesn't put the sails up. And God doesn't turn the sails to align itself with the wind. That there is human responsibility. But I can do all the human responsibility I want, and if there's no wind, I'm still not going anywhere. But God, here's the deal. God promises you there is wind. The Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance, it says in Ephesians. The Spirit is there. And the Spirit is continuously like a fountain that never stops, or a waterfall that never stops. That's the picture of the Spirit. It's continuous. But we have to align the sails of our life. We have to cooperate. And when we do, something happens. The sailboat goes. And we can steer it and by where we position our sails, but that wind is there. And friends, that is the picture. Maybe that even becomes your prayer. God, help me to stop being a raft. Help me to stop being a rowboat. God, show me how to set my sails, how to cooperate. And there's what we're at here. To cooperate with what you want to do in my life. So let's move into that. The next verse in our passage gives us another hint about something that has to happen in this process. Number three in your outline, the Spirit enables us to kill sinful idols in our life. I talked earlier about you gotta starve the flesh and you gotta feed the Spirit, but you need to understand that it is actually the Spirit that's present in your life that helps you and enables you to actually kill the things on the flesh side. You can't do that on your own. You cannot grit your teeth and on your own power stop sinning or stop making idols out of things that were never meant to be number one in your life. You can't do it. I can't do it. We need the Spirit's power. And the good news is that's part of why God gave us His Spirit. So He says in verse 24 of Galatians 5, those who belong to Christ have crucified or killed the sinful nature with its passions and desire. That word crucified has the idea of it continually, those who belong to Jesus continually put to death the desires and passions of the flesh. So let's get practical here. Pastor Mike, come on. You're getting all this spiritual language. Tell me what I gotta do. What are you actually saying I gotta do different? Well, the passage gives us some real clear indications here. First of all, to grow in your spiritual life and to have victory, we must remember every day that we belong to Christ. That's what the passage says. To those who belong to Jesus Christ. Some of us struggle is because we get outside the walls of this church building and we get out there in life and we go back to thinking our identity, we forget who we are. We forget that every day, 24/7, we are children of God. Do you wake up every morning and the first thing, or at least early on, it should come to your mind, I am a child of God through faith in Christ because of what Christ did. This is my identity. This is my main identity. Yeah, I work here and I'm married to this person and these are part of my identity, but my main identity is I am a child of God. And so, the first part of it is just remembering who you are and what your purpose is. I'm a child of God. I belong to Jesus because He purchased me with His blood, with His sacrifice on the cross. I belong. All that is His is mine. Our acceptance, our approval, our welcome from the Father rests not with our character and our actions, but with Christ's. He is our Savior. Now, with the power of the Holy Spirit, here's what you're going to be enabled to do and are enabled to do. The Spirit gives you the ability, as you walk with Him, to, first of all, to identify the fleshly part of your life. The Spirit, so you say, God, pray this prayer, I dare you. God, help me to see the things that are keeping me from you. Help me to see the ways that I'm living for myself. Pastor Mike talked about things like family or children or work or hobbies being idols. God, could that be true of me? And I don't even realize it. Spirit of God, help me to see where I have put things in my life above you. Friends, I can't do that for you. I can't go around and, you know, sit down with each of you or you with me and say, well, here's what I see. I think you've put this ahead of God in your life. You know, that's, you gotta, the Spirit can convict you. The Spirit can show you, man, this has gotten a little out of alignment here. I care more about my family than I do about God and the world knowing God. I spend all my time consumed about work and or a hobby and it's up here. The Spirit can show you the idols of your heart. And we need the Spirit's help because we deceive ourselves. But not only that, then the Spirit can come along and give you the strength to begin to crucify that idol and remove it as a power in your life. Let me just read one little verse from Romans 8 that goes along with this. He says, Paul, still the same author here, says, therefore, brothers, this is Romans 8, 12 to 15. Therefore, brothers, Christians, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. Christian, you are no longer obligated to live according to your sinful desires. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you're going to die. You're going to experience the consequences of sin, just like anybody would. But listen to this verse. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of your body or the flesh, you will live. If by the Spirit you put to death, you need the Holy Spirit to help you put to death the things. And so you come before God. How do you do this? You come before God and you say, God, I have identified some sinful things in my life, whether they're idols or whether they're addictions. And God, I come before you and say, God, I need your help. I need your strength to break this addiction, to get this order back the way it's supposed to be. This idol needs to come off the throne. Jesus, I need your help. I need your strength to do this. Let me just ask you, are you having those kind of prayer times with God where you're crying out to Him, God, I need your strength, I need your help to break this addiction, to break this pattern, to break this anger, to break this whatever it is that's keeping you from Him, the sin. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. But it only happens, that's how you align yourself with Him. It's prayerful dependence. It's telling God, God, I recognize this, I repent of it, and I need your help to have victory. I need you. And not just to stop, listen to this, not just to stop doing the thing that's dishonoring to God, but so that I can be back to neutral. No, 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 no. Holy Spirit, I want to replace that with Jesus. I don't want to just stop doing the bad thing. I want to be passionate in my heart about living for Jesus and Him being on the throne of my life. Friends, that's what you were created for. That's what you were designed for. And the Spirit, as you call out to Him, as we call out to Him, will move Jesus back into the center of your life as the passion of your life. And so, number four, we'll wind down here. The key is the choice of daily dependence. That's what real faith looks like. And so he says, and we wind back down to this last little verse, verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Keeping in step with the Spirit is simply living in conscious, choosing daily dependence upon God and His resource of forgiveness and new life. It's daily coming before God and saying, God, I need you today. Christ died for my sins. God, today, here are the things I'm wrestling with, I'm struggling with. I give them over to you. And I'm bringing my life in surrender back to Jesus. I guess what I'm trying to say in these, the spiritual life is an everyday thing and it's a radical thing. God wants it all. He wants to be on the throne of your life. And this is the only way to a growing, victorious, and not all victory at once, but growing in victory over sin and living boldly and beautifully for Jesus. It's surrender. How many of you were at the Wild Horse Ministries thing that we did a while back? So you start out with this colt. I'm not a horse person, but the younger horse there, who is unbroken. Meaning, this horse has a will of its own. It doesn't just do what the guy says to do. It does its own thing. It's living independent. It's its own boss. And in that state, it can actually do very little productive, anything useful. But over the course of the day, of that evening, the what's the guy's name? Paul, the guy that did it. So he took that horse, and of course, being an expert, and over the course of the evening, he took that horse and he did certain things with it, and the horse's will began to come underneath his authority. And instead of just doing and bucking and resisting, the horse began to learn submission and surrender. And by the end of the evening, Paul was in complete control. And that horse could use the strength that God put in it now to begin to do things that were productive and useful. He was no longer his own master, but he was under another master, one that was good and loving. Friends, that's where some of us are at today. In our spirits, we're like one of those wild horses that is unbroken. We're independent. We're doing things on our own, whatever we want to do. And it's time to be broken. And Jesus is a good master, right? He is loving and kind, and He wants what's best for us. And He has a plan for your life, but you're not experiencing it because you're just living independent from God. That's what the sin nature does. And so for some of us, it's time. Now the horse, I don't know how horses' minds work. I'm not a horse person, but you know, in that situation, the horse really just acted instinctually to what was the process. We have to be intentional. We have to choose to come before God and say, God, I'm bringing myself under your control. I need you. And I want to live for you productively and fruitfully for you. God, forgive me for those unbroken ways that are still a part of my heart that still have control. God, I give you that. I need your strength. Give me victory. Help me to walk with Jesus on the throne of my life. And what Paul is saying to us is, God, as we do that, He will be at work in your life. Friends, let me just, last word, There is no other path to spiritual growth and victory than what I'm presenting to you. This is it. You can come to church every Sunday your whole life and just go through the motions. That doesn't guarantee you're going to do any of this. It's an issue of the heart before God. So let's do it together. Let's come before God and offer our lives back to Him. And if you would just join me in prayer, we'll close and do that right now. Father, I can't perfectly or even come close to fully presenting what Paul is saying. I'm trying my best to help us understand there is a battle going on, and it's real and it's every day. And I think it's clear enough to us. We have experienced it. We know it's there. And yet we live so much of the time not even thinking about it. And when that happens, the flesh always wins. And so you've invited us to walk in the power of the Spirit day by day. That doesn't automatically happen either. We have to bring ourselves in surrender daily and remind ourselves of who we are. We belong to Jesus. He purchased us. We are His children. We are adopted into His family. And we've been given the gift of forgiveness and new life and the powerful Spirit of God living in us. And so God, help us to be a people, even right now in our hearts, to say, God, I want to be that. I want to set my sails in a manner in which Your Spirit wind will propel me forward in victory in the Christian life. Spirit of Jesus in us, help each of us to identify what the fleshly desires that are winning right now in our lives are. Every one of us needs a clear, like, revelation. Some of us are already clear. We know what our sins are. And others, we're living a self-deceived life. We're full of pride or anger or lust, and we just cruising along. We need the Spirit to convict us and show us so that we can repent and say, God, I need Your help to have victory over this. The Spirit wants nothing more than to have us have Jesus back on the throne of our life, to be the Lord of our life, to be over everything, so that we can live lives filled with the Spirit and experiencing that fruit in our lives of love and joy and peace and patience and all that's on that list. And the beginning is just surrender. I mean, God, the moment we're in right now is that some of us, even as believers, have never fully surrendered our lives. We've stayed in that prideful state of, I'm going to do my own thing. I'll still go to church and I'll believe in God, but I'm still going to live my life my way. Some of us are so prideful that we will not surrender. And that is what it's called for. Humility. And to come back before You and say, God, I need Your strength. And I want to live for Jesus. I want to exercise. I want to feed that spiritual side so I can become passionate for Jesus in living for Him. This is no game. This is the life You've called us to. Thank You for Your word today that invites us and instructs us on what the Christian life is to look like. Help us not only this morning to enter into it more fully, but every day, every part of us. And we'll give You the praise and the glory as You give us victory in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.